This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome to today's edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We weren't able to get together with Zane this time, but Dave and Juice will be talking Day's Vacation. We'll talk what happened at Backlash and some of the repercussions from that. We'll have news from NXT. Lucha Underground is back. We'll also have some more talk about another network that is out there besides the WWE Network and a way you could win a year's subscription. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Dave, I want you to think about some of the great upsets in sports history, okay? You got the, every time the Cardinals lose in the World Series, that's an upset.
That's an upset.
All right. The Rams losing to the Patriots in 2001 Super Bowl. Yeah. That was an upset.
The Jets beating the Colts in the Super Bowl. And Super Bowl, what was it, number three or four?
Yeah, no,
four,
number
yeah.
three.
Number three, yeah.
Patriots 18-0,
uh-huh.
Become 18-1 uh-huh. to the New York Giants in the 2008 yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So many upsets. And if you want to look at wrestling, well, let's look at wrestling. Undertaker losing to Brock Lesnar in the WrestleMania. His first. And I'm still bitter about that.
Yeah, me too.
WWE Backlash 2017 us with another upset, which is crazy because even though that was a huge upset, there was another match that actually might have outperformed that one. We're going to get to that. Dave Denton on that mic. Audrey Salveson here on this mic. You're there. We're here. Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash, Dave. Dave, how are you, by the way?
I am so fine.
I'm not going to say you're fine.
I'm a pretty man. Pretty
I know you're
man.
Trying to set me up there by telling you that you're fine, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, I am the women's pet and the men's regret.
Where is Teresa?
Teresa's at work.
Okay, well, you know, y'all, just because she isn't here doesn't mean you can just go off and just say a bunch of weird things to weird out your co-host.
My husband does weird things. So, yeah, just got back from vacationing in beautiful Laughlin, Nevada.
Tell me about your vacation.
Oh, we went down.
You sent me a photo of a bunch of empty land, so I wasn't really sure what to think at that point.
Well, the Laughlin, Nevada is right along the Colorado River, right across the river from Bullhead City, south of Las Vegas.
Okay.
By about 90 minutes, but it's right along the Colorado River. We've been going there, my wife and I, now for 22 years, almost every year.
What?
Yeah.
This is a tradition. This isn't just a...
Well, I tell you what started it. $19
Please.
Rooms. Back 20 years ago, you could get a room, Riverview, for $19. And now you can get a Riverview for about $50. So it was a really cheap vacation. And plus, they had cheap food, and I was winning at the casino, so, you know.
and yeah, did we gain or lose coming home?
Let's not talk about that right now.
Oh, okay.
I had a wonderful time, but we will not talk money because...
Favorite, I guess, gambling game, I guess, is that the word?
I like to play triple play video poker. Deuces wild or jacks are better. I'm not a table game player, but my cousin came in from Las Vegas. He plays the tables and plays machines, and we had a great time. Just a great time. It was fun. Good to get away, but I was always checking Facebook, and I was checking everything with wrestling while I was away. My wife kept on saying, "Put the phone down. You don't need to check on Raw or everything. Just put the phone down."
Well, I mean, being in sports radio, you and I mean, I've always checking my Twitter, you know, to see what's going on in the latest sports, because you can't miss a story,
right?
Because you got to go back the next day, you know, talk about that story, and right. So, you know, we'll go out to dinner. My wife wants to do a date night, but then I can't take my phone with me, and so I have to. Yeah, it's a pain. Like, what? You know, you knew I was in sports radio, honey. Why are you telling me to get off my phone? Support me.
Right. Your wife supports you more. Yeah, I know your wife, so.
Ready, set, wrestle. 1, 2, 3, kick.
Dibs on the red tights. Dibs on the red tights. All right, how about this? Ready, wrestle.
Wait, oh, are we starting now? Or is that what you're going to say when we do start?
We're starting now.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hey, speaking of needing support, the a few superstars after these losses need support now. Let's start off with just a quick recap, because we have to, on a backlash as an entirety, but then also the quote-unquote pre-show, you know, how fun that is. A pre-show is a pre-show. It's short. It's supposed to be to the point. Ty Dillinger, Aiden English. English is one of those guys who is like Heath Slater, likes to sing, but then just gets the crap kicked out of, and is almost made a fool of, which was the case in this part. Really short match. English does lose. Dillinger gets the win.
Well, they're pushing Dillinger right now, and of course, English was part of what the Vaudevillains.
Yes.
Just a few months ago, so it doesn't surprise me. They're trying to give a little push to the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger, And the crowd loves that when he does the 10.
They
eat that stuff up. So, and it just, I'll bring this up when we talk a little bit later on, because I want to talk about crowd interaction just a little bit when we talk, especially in the first match of the evening, on the show itself.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Opening kickoff match of the night, Mr. Dolph Ziggler versus, how do you say this name? Shinsuke?
Oh, Sensei Nakamura.
I was really close there, as you could tell. Nakamura has been on a roll lately. I mean, he's had some serious momentum. A lot of fans thought this would be a punch him, kick him, drop him, pin him match. And it was actually made closer than you would think. And I think that for that reason, a lot of people are wondering, well, if he's so dominant, why is it taking so long to pin Ziggler?
Well, you know, Ziggler is a big name. So they've been setting up this feud with Ziggler the last couple of weeks. And they're really giving a push to Nakamura. And I think that Zane and I talked about on the last podcast that given this push to Nakamura at the detriment of Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
I don't know if I like that, but they're trying to put Nakamura over as a main talent. So be looking for him if they don't have Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler doing at least one more program or maybe two. Be looking for him to go for the U.S. title or something like that in the near future. But here's my problem. I am not a fan of Sensei Nakamura.
Why?
And
by the way, you might want to get used to that name and that face, because he's making an appearance.
Yeah, he's
very strong.
He was big in NXT, huge in NXT. Then they came up with this entrance for him where the crowd sings along with his entrance theme, and it's impressive. His ring work is good, but he comes out in the red leather, and they're starting to call him the artist. And I don't know. It just drives me nuts, because every time I look at him in that red leather, I expect to have a sequins glove or a hat, you know, because he reminds me of the old Michael Jackson stuff. You know, I call him a Michael Jackson wannabe, and I know he's not, but that's every time I see him, I think of that. And I get, you know, on my radio show, I play Michael Jackson every day. So it's not that I'm not a Michael Jackson fan. But I am not a fan, and in my mind, probably my mind only, because his ring work is pretty good, and far above average, I'll say. His ring work is good. But I wonder how much of his push is because the fans like to sing along with his entrance theme.
It drives me nuts.
That's interesting. That's a great point.
That drives me nuts because I see somebody like Dolph Ziggler, who I've just been a huge fan of for years, and he comes out. He doesn't have that entrance theme that people chant along with, but he's being kind of pushed to the background by Nakamura is being pushed as a main event type talent in the near future. And they're setting up this with Dolph Ziggler to push him a little bit, which I understand. But I wonder how much of it is, oh, they chant along with his music. And, hey, let's give him a push now because we love to have the fans sing along and to chant yes, 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 like Daniel Bryant, or do the perfect 10 with Ty Dillinger, or you stupid idiot with Chris Jericho. You know, fan interaction. And I'm wondering how much goes into who's pushed or who's not pushed because of fan interaction.
You know,
and I have nothing wrong with that because it's marketing.
Yeah.
It sells product. It sells t-shirts. It puts butts in the seat.
Well, I don't think Daniel Bryan was a good wrestler. That's just in my honest opinion. Oh, I don't think he was a good wrestler. But I think the fan interaction and the crowd reaction got him to where he got to. Now, that's no disrespect to Mr. Bryan. Uh-huh. In fact, I need to be probably more careful how I choose my words there.
Just go with it. Yeah. I mean, it's a business, you know, and you got to go with what the crowd is reacting to. But just me, I guess, because I see him against one of my favorites of the last several years, Dolph Ziggler, who I think is one of the great in-ring performers that they have. And maybe that's why they put him against Nakamura, is because Dolph Ziggler is one of the best sellers in the business, and his offense is impeccable.
Yeah.
When he's on offense, he sells it, and when he is on defense, he sells it. I just think Dolph Ziggler is one of the best in the business right now. And when you're talking about Daniel Bryant, I go back when the Yes Movement started.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing the thing with Kane. They were, mm-hmm. And he was going, no, no, no. Well, after, I think it was a Monday Night Raw, he's a fan favorite, and the crowd started doing yes, yes, yes with him. And I remember him saying on this video that I saw, I think I know where my next catchphrase is. And it was the yes chant.
Mm.
So I understand it, but not necessarily that I particularly like it. And that's just my personal opinion about this. What I like and what somebody else likes, and I know there's a lot of Nakamura fans out there, and I'm just saying as a personal preference, he doesn't do anything for me.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship on the line, the Usos versus Breezango.
That was a better match than I thought it was going
to
be.
That was the way it was really analyzed.
Even with the comedy angle, with the Fashion Police.
Stop! Those shoes don't go with those pants. Fashion Police, move it. Hold it in.
But when Tyler Breeze comes out and he's doing the mopping thing, dressed up like the old man.
Sure.
And he's mopping in the ring and all that. And he puts the mop in one of the Usos' face. I thought that was kind of clever. But I did like it when he gets off the ring and he comes back dressed like the old lady. And there was a part in there after the Usos got control and they tore the dress off Tyler Breeze.
Sure.
That they took the dress and threw it in JBL's face. JBL, and I wrote down the quote from JBL. He said at this point, the last time that happened to me, I paid for it. Just hilarious.
Usos do what the Usos do best and tag team it together and get the big win, then retain their tag team title.
Yeah, and the crowd at one point was chanting for the mop.
Oh, God.
They were cheering for the mop and cheering for the old lady, the old woman. And when Tyler Breeze takes the dress and flashes the Uso with it, that one made me laugh. So a better match than I thought it was going to be when it was first booked. It was probably booked because the New Day is not ready to come back yet.
Graded as a B- from Bleacher Report. By the way, you can find great... two places I actually had to go for my WWE information.
Uh-huh.
One, Bleacher Report, who do an incredible job of recapping wrestling pay-per-views. And still Real to Us I'm a huge fan of great work by Still Real to Us. Thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, they
and
do
you listen to them. You can find them on Twitter at Still Real to Us. They're so good in recapping pay-per-views and bringing you the news behind the scenes of pay-per-view matches.
Yeah.
Love it.
And there's a really good YouTube channel called WrestleZone.
Oh, yes.
And that guy does a really good job on that. And there's also Wrestle Epicenter that we talk a lot about. There's a lot of really good sites out there to get the information. And we're not stealing from them. We use them as tools. No. But if we use them, we're going to give them credit.
Yeah. Well, you need to find research one way or another, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just, I mean, you can bring information to light, but you have to have help.
Yeah. But you know, I have notes here on a notepad when I was watching the other night on the Backlash, and I used some of those, but I also use other sources to kind of keep me up to date because,
sure,
I mean, I watch WWE, I watch ROH, I watch quite a bit of Impact when I can find it on YouTube, basically a YouTube channel, and then I love Lucha Underground, which actually is coming back for the second half of their season on May the 31st, the day after my birthday. So,
by the way, can we say happy birthday yet? Are we allowed to?
Yeah, you can say happy birthday.
Dave Denton turning the gracious young age of 60.
Yeah, 60 years old.
Stop.
I gum my own food.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going bald. Did you notice that? Going bald.
Dave, you're going bald 7 years ago, buddy.
I know, brother.
Like, that's just called a hairline receding.
Today, I was combing my hair, and
Dave,
I noticed.
You have no hair. Oh my gosh!
I noticed. I said, "Man, that's pretty light up." But this is what the good Lord gave me, so I'm making it look good.
Next match on the card. we're just gonna get out of that one immediately. Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, and for Zayn, it did not get off to a good start at all. He took a beating in the early going, in so much that he actually hurt his back.
Yeah.
So not a good start for Mr. Zayn, but he does end up getting the win, though. What did you think of the match?
You know, Zayn is not a big fan of Mr. Corbin, but I like his work.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah, Sami Zayn coming out with the win was a surprise to me. I thought Baron Corbin was going to win, or there would be some sort of controversy with the win. But more power to Sami Zayn, who I'm hoping we'll start getting a little bit more of a push on the SmackDown brand, SmackDown Live, I should say. I was actually surprised that Sami Zayn won that match.
Well, this is just one of the matches to what could be a very good feud in the very near future if they can keep it going. Two good wrestlers. I love what Sami Zayn brings to the ring. I don't know how much of a back injury, if it's real or not, or if it will prevent him from going, you know, for at least a couple of weeks. We'll see. But I thought he was great. Good match overall. I like it. I'd probably give it a B+, to be honest.
Now, moving on to the 6-woman tag match, the welcoming committee.
Puppies!
They haven't done that in years.
I know. It's because it's PG. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, the welcoming committee, which is Tamina Snuka, Natalie, and who's the other girl? Carmella.
Yeah. Carmella.
She is fine, by the way.
Oh, calm down, 60-year-old man. Holy
I'm
cow.
I'm a dirty old man. What
I'm
can I say?
I'm telling Teresa on you. You make, oh.
Don't tell my wife. I'm
telling her.
I'm going to be in trouble. But yeah, she, yeah. And then they have Ellsworth with her. And I think that's the only way they're keeping Ellsworth employed at this particular moment. But yeah, it was a fun little 6-woman tag match. But I do miss, why didn't they have some sort of title match?
Yeah.
I understand why they did it, but it seems like they're not doing title matches as much with the women on the big pay-per-views anymore.
I thought it was interesting. Flair never got anything going in this match. No offense at all whatsoever. Naomi was probably the only one who had any sort of momentum going.
Yeah.
She got that ended pretty quickly, and that's when kind of the match fell to pieces for them. Of course, the welcoming committee gets the win.
Yeah.
No title on the line, so it's really no loss for either girl, maybe except Pride. But Total Divas will fix that all.
There has been some talk, you know, internet chatter, whether you can believe it or not. But Charlotte comes over to the SmackDown Live brand, and she's been kind of pushed as a face. And whether that is working or not, people are wondering if she's working as a face – or whether she could turn to heel really soon and go back to being that really good heel that she is. I mean, she is an awesome heel.
Sure.
So we'll have to see what happens there. So,
well, not much offense from one side and a lot of offense from the other. I didn't like the match. Not a lot of action going on. So I don't know. What do you say? I'm saying C.
Yeah, it was a
maybe.
I don't think that the lady the women work as well as tag matches as they do in singles. But I do like the idea of factions,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, with the welcoming committee. So kind of like that.
If it weren't for the main event match, this match probably would have been the match of the night, and I don't think it would have been close. The U.S. title on the line, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles.
Killer.
This got off on the right foot and took off out of the roof. This was a great match. Two of the best performers right now in the SmackDown brand just ate it up. And, I mean, they did it the right way, Dave.
They did. They tore it up. They did a great job. Every time I look at Kevin Owens, you don't see the classic wrestler.
Oh, no.
You
no.
know, uh-uh. I mean, he's a big guy. He doesn't wear the regular gear that most wrestlers wear. He's not wearing Speedos out there, I'll tell you that. And hallelujah. but he can do some moves that cruiserweights can't do.
No, absolutely.
Power moves that go into speed moves and agility moves. It's things I haven't seen ever done. Like he had AJ Styles. They were getting ready on the top rope. Looked like a superplex from Styles. He turns it around and does that power slam off the top rope.
Oh, my gosh.
And that takes good agility on both wrestlers' part. Because if you don't turn that right, you're going to hit the turnbuckle, and it's not going to be pleasant. So, and then the cannonball right onto AJ's leg. And the one that got me was when he did the three consecutive Swanton backflips right onto AJ Styles. Three of them. Bam, bam, bam. And I was going, is he going to get up? That's almost 300 pounds falling on you there.
And times it by three, it's 900 pounds.
I've been losing weight recently.
So you see the speed.
I don't weigh 900 pounds no more.
You see the speed of AJ Styles.
Yes.
But you see it being derided by the size of Kevin Owens. Now, AJ Styles did have, and I'm not sure if he re-aggravated a knee injury. It sounds like, from what I've read, it is a re-aggravation of his injury. But that kind of took precedence. Owens took hold of that, took advantage of it. And kind of ate that up as the match went on, which really slowed AJ Styles down. And that's what his advantage is, his speed. When you see Owens as big as he is it does it surprise you that he's as agile as he is?
Because
he's a big guy.
I am surprised that Owens moves as well as he does. He does a super kick that is right up there with Dolph Ziggler and right up there with Shawn Michaels. I think his super kick is incredible. And then he can do stuff off the ropes if he needs to. He can dive through the ropes if he needs to. You know, I was surprised when he was taken up by NXT from ROH because of his look. He does not look like the stereotypical wrestler. And I didn't think the WWE would want that. But they went with the Fight Owens fight. And then they just let him be Kevin Owens.
Styles and Owens move outside the ring. And at first, Styles is cruising. But then Owens becomes Owens and, you know, gives the low blow to the coconuts.
Yep.
And then uses the table for some help to keep that knee injured and wins via countout fall. So with this win, Owens is the U.S. title guy. But it is a count out win.
Yeah.
So that leaves this little feud just undetermined. It could go anywhere from there.
And it probably will. The situation with AJ getting ready to do the Styles clash or splash onto Kevin Owens on the table.
Oh.
And then his leg goes through one of the openings on the table.
You spotted this.
Yeah, I was watching a replay of it, and you could almost see Kevin reaching down. Maybe he, you know, moved something on the table. But, man, I went, oh, my, this isn't good. And then when AJ's leg was caught up in the cabling and he was just draped over that that table, I, you know, that suspension of belief, I thought, man, this guy is hurt. Or if he's not hurt, he's going to get hurt because his leg is tied up. I don't know if it was part of the storyline. I just don't know, but I liked it. His leg caught up in there in the count-out victory. I thought it was just a really great match.
Owens wasn't done as he attacked Styles again after the match was over, just to add gas to the fire. This one, it could go a long way. So this one could even, if I dare say, go into next year's WrestleMania. I mean, it could go that long.
You think it could go that long?
These two are two big-time performers. It just depends, you know, how clogged up we are at the top. And with the U.S. title right here kind of hanging in the balance between these two. And, again, it could swap again within the next pay-per-view easily.
Yeah.
Either it could go that long or they could break, take a break, come back to it later on. The crowd loved it. Look, the crowd ate it up. And like I said, if there wasn't some kind of a main event with a guy getting beat by another guy that wasn't supposed to happen at all,
yeah,
this match takes top stick. It does. And so I really like this feud. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see where they go. Next match, another slobber knocker. Luke Harper, Eric Rowan. There was no momentum either way. It was just two guys slugging it out. I really don't know what else to tell you about the match. I give it a C. I think with a little bit more in-ring time, then they'll be able to develop something. It could be something to hang on for. I mean, you look at the Orton Bray Wyatt little series that they had. This is something you could use with that. Maybe copycat it, but...
Well, you know...
It's a good match.
When you see two guys like that, and they were pushing, you know, the Wyatt family connection between the two of them, but these are two really big men, and they, you know, they both will dive out of the wing, do a suicide dive. They'll do stuff off the ropes and power moves. And I enjoyed the match. I really did. And seeing Luke Harper being cheered.
Harper, of course, gets the win. A little bit of a, he throws a discus clothesline, clubs Rowan, pins him, and it's over. We'll see where it goes. Like I said, it's kind of a mysterious feud, but I think, like I said, with a little bit more in-ring time, they'll be all right.
Well, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, a filler match between the two main events, and that's exactly what it did. It gave the crowd a chance to kind of catch their breath after AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and getting ready for the, quote, main event of the evening. Which was surprising.
Randy Orton's a 13-time WWE champion.
Woo!
He's a 13-time WWE champion. His opponent, Jinder Mahal, is a rookie.
Well, he's more than a rookie. I mean, he's been around for years, but they've never given him a push like this.
Well, when it comes to this kind of a situation in a main event championship match, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
and this match, like the Ziggler match, wasn't supposed to be close. In fact, everyone had it almost as a one-sided win.
And that's the way it started off.
Absolutely.
With Orton just clobbering.
Orton doesn't even wait for the bell.
No.
He just starts clobbering him during introductions.
Yep.
Then when the bell starts, Orton continues to attack, and it looks like Mahal is just kind of... Well, like, Orton's been there, done that, so he knows how to win these kind of matches. But give credit to Mahal throughout the whole entire night, just sticking it through. Each blow. Awesome.
Yeah. And then the Singh brothers get involved and...
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
What do you like? Do you... No, yes, maybe so with that.
Maybe so. More of a heel moment when he has somebody backing him up and cheating for him. It gives him kind of a heel moment. And I will honestly say I had no inclination that... he was going to win the championship. It was after interference by the Singh brothers.
Orton was favoring his left arm, by the way.
Yeah,
he was injured at this point.
Yeah.
And Mahal just continues to attack it.
Yep.
As a good experienced wrestler would do.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of thinking that Orton's going to keep at it and kick out of it at some point. And, I mean, it's like the Undertaker-Brock Lesnar match. I mean, I know I keep going back to that. But, I mean, you're watching Orton here. And like I said, and I'm going to pound it on the door one more time, 13-time WWE champion. You think he's going to kick out. You know, you think he's going to start to regain his momentum again after this, the cheap shot, the interference. And it just never happened. And in fact, a vicious full Nelson slam put the put Orton to bed, and that was a match.
And then you have the new champion, and Mahal is the champion, and JBL says, "My hell has frozen over." And it has. I mean, you've got a new champion who nobody saw really coming, and now he is the one-time WWE champion. He's getting a great push. Will it hang around in there? I wrote on my notes, I see John Cena coming back.
It is one of the gutsiest moves in probably the last 15 years for the WWE to do, to put a guy as a low-star ringer such as Mahal to go all in on this guy and to give him that sort of a push to beat Randy Orton.
Yeah.
So whatever you got next, you better darn well sure that you have a good storyline with it, whether it's John Cena or somebody else.
I'm telling you, John Cena will be the one to take the belt from him. Whether it's going to be the next pay-per-view or two SummerSlam or whatever, it will be John Cena that takes the belt, because that will give John the record for holding the belt.
What does this do for the Maharaj? What does it do for that group now? Now that you have Mahal, who's a WWE, not just a United States Tag Team Champ, not just an IC title champ, he's the WWE title champ. What does that do to this group?
It means they're going to sell a lot of merchandise in India. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people are saying that he was given the belt, because they've just signed a new agreement in the country of India. But
what about in ring, though?
I think in ring,
what does it do for the group?
Well, you'll see the Singh brothers have to get in. There'll be some six-man tags where the Singh brothers will get the you-know-what beat out of them by Randy Orton and maybe somebody else. And then as a group, I see Jinder Mahal keeping the belt at least through SummerSlam, unless John Cena comes back earlier.
So you do not see Randy Orton regaining that title back before...
No, I could see them doing something with Rusev, who's on the same brand, and there's already been some friction between the two when they were tag teaming. They actually had a small feud going between the two for a while, and Rusev is getting ready to come back. And I had it in my notes. I see some sort of feud coming up with John Cena and Jinder Mahal in the near future, to be honest with you.
It's going to get intriguing now. Like I say, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, where does that go?
Yeah.
Of course, what does Randy Orton do? You were a 13-time WWE champ, and your 13th time is not the lucky charm. It ends up being where you lose to this. What do you do with Randy Orton? I mean, what do you do? And like you say, I mean, there's just a lot of questions to be answered. Good pay-per-view overall.
Yes.
I thought there was a couple dud matches, but a good one overall. Again, questions for Nakamura. You know, he's got momentum headed as well. He could be something to watch out for here on the SmackDown brand.
I didn't even think about that. That could be Nakamura and Jinder Mahal.
Could you imagine Nakamura and Jinder Mahal being part of a three-way triple threat title match?
That's very
the
possible.
The crowd would eat that up. I mean, they love Nakamura and they love Jinder Mahal. It'd be kind of interesting to see what they do. And by the way, the reaction of the crowd after that match is over...
It reminded me of when the Undertaker lost
to Brock Lesnar.
People's jaws were like, oh.
Well, there wasn't no cheering. I think people were like,
"What?
Oh my gosh, Mahal just beat Randy Orton.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That. And in fact, from what I've read, WWE back room, the locker room was just stunned.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe it either.
A lot of times they don't tell them what's going
to
happen.
They aren't going to. And so I love the reaction by the announcers. I thought it was well done. Good pay-per-view overall, but we'll move on.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
Now it's time to go to school.
You like wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that.
This is unbelievable.
Well, before I let you go,
yeah.
I want to just do one more thing.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage people to watch the NXT TakeOver.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Yeah, I just real quickly, I didn't watch the entire show as of yet, but I am going to because it was very well done.
Which, by the way, you can find on WWE Network.
Network for only $9.99 a month. But wait, there's more. The tag match between the Authors of Pain and DIY.
Is this the ladder match?
The ladder match, yeah. It was for the tag team championship, yeah. The ladder match. Was as good a ladder match as you're going to see. There was a great spot in there where Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling took ladders, and as the Authors of Pain were on all four, picked them up above their head and just dropped the ladders right on top of their backs. I don't care who you are, that's going to hurt. That was a great spot. There was lots of great spots throughout involving the ladders. And, you know, one where Tommaso Ciampa was about to take a ladder right to the face. And Johnny, his nickname is Johnny Wrestling. That's why I always call him. He jumped right in front and took it right in the face. Just took a ladder shot. It just looked like it just destroyed his face. But the Authors of Pain retained their championship with Precious Paul Ellering, who was the manager of the Road Warriors, by the way. And afterwards, Tommaso Ciampa has a heel turn. Ever since he's been in NXT, he's been a face. But I'm telling you guys, if you never saw Tommaso Ciampa in ROH, this guy is an incredible heel. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he plays this guy who is just insane with rage and jealousy, and he was so good. I was so sad to see him leave ROH when he went to NXT. I was such a fan of his, and a lot of his work, he pulled the wool over my eyes, because there was once when he actually attacked the announcer Kevin Kelly.
Sure.
And I thought, because the way they reported it, that it was real. It wasn't a work, because they suspended Ciampa right after that.
Oh, and no.
But it was. Evidently, it was a work, and because it was shortly thereafter. I think that was the way they got rid of Ciampa when he went to NXT, or he went to the independent scenes right after that. So,
sure.
But it was so good. So watch Tommaso Ciampa as a heel. I do encourage that. And then also want to give the big shout out to the new UK champion, Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne, as he took on Tyler Bates, who was the champion. And I had never watched a big match with those two. They tore it up. I almost turned it off because I wasn't that interested in that match. But I said, oh, stick it out. Tyler Bates picks up Dunne and does an airplane spin. And you've seen the airplane spins people do.
I've had them done to me.
Going four or five.
You've done them to me.
Four or five times, maybe six times. But Tyler Bates started increasing the speed. And I bet he went around 15, 20 times. And it was close to the end of the match. But the winner was Pete Dunne. And he is the new UK champion. And it was a great, great match. Matter of fact, Kelly Denton, who's on our Facebook page, and he is my nephew.
Go, Kelly!
Kelly! He put on Facebook that night, he thought it was the match of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, it was that good. And then the NXT Championship with Itami Hideo Itami, who has been in NXT for a while, but he's been injured so many times. He had the championship match against the glorious Bobby Roode. I got to tell a story about Bobby Roode.
I love Bobby Roode.
So it was a good, strong match. And then you had Bobby Roode retaining. And Bobby Roode needs to be on the main roster. Mm-hmm. If they're going to put Nakamura on there for him, people chanting along with his little song and calling him the artist Nakamura, Bobby Roode, when that song Glorious starts playing and his entrance is so incredible. I love his entrance. It reminds me of the old Ric Flair entrances. And I think he needs to be up on the main roster. But I got to tell you a story, something that happened that didn't, it's not directly revolving around Bobby Roode, but indirectly.
Okay.
On my vacation.
On your vacation.
Laughlin, Nevada.
In that desert dry area.
In the desert dry area. I was walking from the parking garage into the Aquarius Hotel and Casino, which is amazing place. And I was wearing my St. Louis Cardinal t-shirt. You know, I'm a big Cardinal fan. Somebody, a guy probably 25, 30 years old, started giving me a bad time about being a Cardinal fan. And I said, oh, you must be a Cub fan. You know, just we were just egging each other on. It was just fun. And we're walking from the garage in a little walkway in between the casino and the parking garage. And all of a sudden, I hear his ringtone go off. And it's Glorious! The Bobby Roode entrance theme. So,
are you kidding me? He's a wrestling fan.
He was a wrestling fan. So I sit there and I said, dude, you're a wrestling fan. He goes, what? And I said, Glorious, Bobby Roode. So we sat there and talked. My wife is going, we're going to the room. We just sat there and talked for a few minutes about professional wrestling.
It's always interesting when you find, you know, wrestling fans, they didn't know wrestling fans. In fact, Mark Douglas, our engineer over at 1280, great guy. We were doing some work together and it was late. I think it was like at 9:30 at night. And I was looking up some wrestling photos of The Undertaker, and he's like, are you a wrestling fan? I said, yeah, I do a wrestling podcast. And he goes, Turnbuckle Trash, I listen to you guys. That's you? And I said, yeah.
Holy crap, way to go, man.
And he's like, yeah, I'm a big wrestling fan myself. And we talked wrestling for the rest of the night. It made my night go by quicker. But yeah, it's always interesting finding wrestling fans that you never knew were wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And there's also those closet wrestling fans like, I'm not a wrestling fan.
Oh,
then they're at home watching like the WWE Network, you know.
I used to watch that wrestling when it was, you know, back in the Attitude Era, but I don't watch it anymore. It just got so fake. And then you start talking a little bit more about, and they know John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
They know all the stuff that's going on right now. Yeah, they just
saw Total Divas last night.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what? WWE Network, they've been showing, and I got to watch it, but there is a dinner, and it showed a few preview clips of the Rated R Superstar,
uh-huh.
Edge, Adam Copeland, Christian, and Kurt Angle.
Oh, Dinner for Three? Yeah, Dinner for Three.
Have you watched it?
I've watched a couple of episodes, not that particular one.
It is so
great.
Enlightening and so good to see these guys outside the costume and talking about, you know, what it's like to be away from their kids. What it's like to be wrestling and, you know, their matches and, you know, just all this stuff. If you have the WWE Network and you haven't watched it, watch Dinner for Three. So well done.
The one I recently watched was AJ Styles with Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels. Mm. And they talked about the Bullet Club, kind of copying what the NWO was doing and what the Clique was doing. A very interesting conversation. And Kevin Nash was so laid back about basically the guys from the Bullet Club copying what they were doing. Mm-hmm. AJ flat out asked him if he had any problem with it. He said, no, I think it's cool. So, you know, I thought, and Shawn Michaels, there's a lot of really good shows for a wrestling fan that not just the in-ring work, but some of the historic footage, when they talk about some of the things that's happened in the past, or when they talk about maybe in the vault area, they have some of the old stuff from the WWE Network when they were tying it in with cable TV. They have that talking about Southern wrestling, talking about Texas wrestling. They talk about the AWA, and they do all this in-depth discussion about fascinating stuff. So well worth $9.99 a month if you are a wrestling fan, just for the pay-per-views.
Just for the pay-per-view alone, yeah. Which, that's amazing. For the pay-per-views, it's $9.99 a month, by the way, Dave.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Hey, Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson here. Thanks for listening over there to us here. Shout-outs to all our listeners here, or to our fans on Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page, which you can find on Turnbuckle Trash. Follow us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash. Email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Call Dave on his cell phone. I'll send you his number, and you can call him. Hey, thank you so much, fans. Appreciate you.
And, you know, if you want to be part of the show sometime, you say, I want to be part of Turnbuckle Trash.
We'll kick Dave right off, and we'll put you
we'll
right
kick
in the seat.
Dave right off. We'll get hooked together, and we'll talk on the telephone. You can say what you want, and we'll just have ourselves a grand old
That'd
time.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
We should have a fan episode where we just get fans' opinions the whole entire time.
Yeah, that would be fun. We can do that.
I love
and
it.
We still have to do the tag team thing,
too.
Oh,
we still got to do our tag team. Dude, come on. We got to keep up. I mean, they have pay-per-views every other dang week. How are you supposed
to
keep up
with 2 weeks,
we're
going to have another one. So,
all right.
Anyway,
bye.
It's been fun.
I miss you. I love you.
I'm fond of you.
You're so gross. You always have to just upgrade it one notch, don't you?
That's why I get paid the not-so-big
bucks. And we're done. Bye.